The first time that we came here, I was 5 years old, so there's a lot of old faces to me and a lot of familiar faces. But I'd just mostly like to share with you about when we moved to the Philippines. We lived in a hotel for the first 3 or 4 weeks until we figured out what part of the town that the Lord wanted us to live. And during that time, we would always walk down the street about 4 or 5 blocks, and we went to this local market. And while we would go to this local market, we would just bring back fruits and vegetables back to our hotel room until we got familiar with what restaurants were good to eat at. And every single time that we would walk to this local market, we would always pass the cemetery. And there was about a 6-foot wall around the cemetery, so you could never actually see what was inside of it. So every time that we would walk past, my husband would say, "Let's go, we gotta go inside there." And I would say, "No, let's go later," because my hands were full. And in the Philippines, we have to hold our children by their wrist, because our oldest daughter, Dixie Mae, there's been 2 different men that's tried to kidnap her. And you even see Filipinos, instead of they're holding their children's hand, they'll hold them by their wrist so that they can't pull away. So we were holding our children, and we had our arms full of just fruits and vegetables to take back to our hotel room. And my husband said, "Let's go. We're going. Let's go inside." And I was like, "Oh, no, no, no. Let's go later." And our hands were full. He said, "No, let's go inside." And whenever we went inside those cemetery doors, I'm telling you, I saw things in my life that I've never seen before. And we saw homeless mom and dads and little small children that were sleeping inside of the cemetery. And the parents, they were so embarrassed to see us in there. They would, not all of them, but some of them, they would take their hands and they would bury their faces and hide from us. And we saw little small children, this one little boy, Paul, who's 4 years old, and he takes care of a little 2-month-old baby sister. And then we'd walk down through it, the tombstones there are above the ground tombstones. And literally, they would take and chisel out little corners in the tombstones. And they would pull the bones out. And I would walk through there, and to see the things that I saw was literally devastating to me. And I took pictures of children that were curled up inside of the tombstones just sleeping so that they could have somewhere safe to sleep. And some were just, that's cool. They even took these fish nets and they tied them on one tombstone and hung it and draped it to the other tombstone. And we've seen that they would lay their little newborn babies in there just so they didn't have to lay on the ground in the dirt. And whenever we were walking out of the cemetery, this one little girl, she was just adorable. She kept following us around everywhere. And we were passing out Bible tracts, and we always try to give a little pack of crackers or something with every single Bible tract or a piece of candy that we give out. And this one little girl, she had followed us all the way through the cemetery. And whenever we were getting ready to leave, she tripped on this rock, and she cut her leg. And I said, "You go see your mommy. You go get your mommy to clean you up." And she looked at me with these big old brown eyes, and she goes, "I don't have a mommy." And I took the water bottle that I had in my hand, and I poured it on her leg, and I tried to clean her up the best way that I could. And our family, whenever we got back to the cemetery that night, we all just sat in our hotel beds and we wept. We said, "God, somebody has to do something for these people." And our little Annabelle, our little redheaded girl, she's a little mommy. She loves babies. And so whenever we left America and we got on the airplane, Annabelle had gone through all of her baby dolls and picked out her best baby doll. And she had packed all of her favorite baby doll clothes inside of her little diaper bag. And whenever we got through praying, she was weeping. And she goes, "Mom, I have to go back in there." She was like, "I got to put all these clothes on those babies and just give them a little bit that I have." And so my husband and I, we took her back into the cemetery. And she put all of her baby doll clothes on the children that literally were just small children taking care of their little infant brothers and sisters. And I'll never forget this one lady who was in the corner. And Annabelle, when we were walking out, Annabelle had saved this little pink blanket that was her favorite. And I kept wondering, is she going to keep that one or is she going to give it away? And whenever we were walking out of the cemetery, she ran over there and gave it to this lady who didn't have anything. And she just stood there and wept and said, thank you, thank you. And whenever we got back to the hotel, we prayed, God, please, what can we do? We just felt like there was such a need, and we didn't feel like that we could do something for everyone. And then the Lord just kept showing us that I've sent you there, and I want you to do it. And so we started on Saturdays. We would take porridge, which is basically like a rice soup, and we put carrots in it and celery, and this moringa leaf is called a miracle tree, and it grows everywhere in the Philippines. And we would put moringa leaves in our porridge, and we started taking it in there on Saturdays. And the people literally, whenever I would run out of cups for the people to eat out of, they would literally take off their flip-flops. They would have 3 and 4 holes in it. And they would say, oh, Ma'am Victoria, please, please. And they would stand there and I would scoop the porridge onto their shoes and they would just sit there and just pour it and just keep eating it as much as they could because they knew that was the last meal that they might have until the following Saturday. And all they were going to get is what they begged for during the week. And so everyone piled underneath this tree and because it's very hot in the Philippines. It's hot, hot, and hotter. So everyone piles underneath this tree there for some shade. And I started in Genesis and I just told them, I said, did you know that there's a God who created you? And literally they would just sit there and they're like, no, no, ma'am. And I said, do you not ever look at these mountains and wonder where they came from? And they said, yes, ma'am, all the time. We always wonder, where did they come from? And I sit there and I just started in Genesis of how God created them and how He loves them so much that He sent His only Son to die for them. And they sat there and they were just weeping. And in the middle of me telling my first story there in the cemetery, I look out, and all my children are scattered amongst the people there, and they're all squatted down. And I noticed that they were all sitting in a pile of bones. And immediately in my heart, I started struggling with the Lord, and I said, what? They're sitting in bones? I said, I can't do this, and I'm struggling with this in my head while I'm trying to teach them. And these people, many of them would have boils on their skins and tumors that were growing out of them. And in my heart, I said, God, I said, I can't do this. I said, I'm so girly and I'd like to be so clean. And I said, God, what if one of my children die of disease? I would never be able to forgive myself. And so I went home and for 3 days during my devotions, I said, God, I said, can you please just give me a verse? Because my husband and I had a verse and we knew that the Philippines is where he wanted our family. But I begged and asked God, I said, Lord, I need a verse from you so that when I'm struggling and I feel like I'm going through a hard time, that I can cling to and know this is my verse from you. And it was the third morning there in my devotions, and I got through just weeping and singing, and I sat up and after praying, and the Lord just told me in my heart, He goes, bloom where you're planted. And I said, but God, that's not a verse. And I asked for a verse. I need a verse. And He just in my heart again, He said, bloom where you're planted. And I'm standing here today to tell you that that morning there on that couch is when I, truly me, gave my heart to those Filipino people. And the Lord showed me that, you know what, yes, you can give up and you can go home, but you will live selfishly because you are out of the center of my will. And you know, many a times if we're teaching in the prisons or in the high schools or if I'm standing in a cemetery teaching or if we're going to the mountains, the things that my eyes behold literally sometimes is so overwhelming. But I can truly tell you that I just stand there in amazement and say, God, just thank you for using me. Just little old me because I'm a nobody. And thank you for using my hands. And thank you for using my feet. And many of you know, I grew up in a missionary kid's home. And I always said I wanted to be a missionary one day. And Lord, just please use me on the field somewhere. But you know what? It took me
going to the other end of the world, literally for the Lord to become my best friend. I had grown up my whole life reading my Bible and praying and thought I had a relationship with the Lord. But when it came to me sitting there on foreign soil and you feel like everyone in America has forgotten about you, that's those times that were the most precious. And I can tell you the Lord is truly my best friend. And I can talk with Him and He sits with me and He walks with me. And every time our family gets in our vehicle, we pray and thank God for giving us a vehicle. And you know, no matter what circumstances or situations we've come upon, and it's always a blessing to know that the Lord is always one step ahead of you. And I love all of you, and this is home for me, and I just appreciate all of the friendships we have. And Pastor Sharon, Sharon, we love you very much, and just thanks for always believing in me as a small child. Amen.